Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
As we all kind of reflect back on the past several months, and as we look back on the past year, I think we'd all agree that each of us individually, and I think our society as a whole, has felt quite a wide range of different feelings and different emotions. Because of all the events that have happened over these past several months, we can all relate to maybe feelings of sadness. At times, we've probably experienced moments of joy, anger. There's been a lot of anger that's been prevalent over the last several months, frustration. Maybe there's been times where you've felt attacked. We can all identify with that, whether that's spiritual attack or maybe in a relationship you've felt attacked. We know that fear has been very prevalent over these last several months, or maybe it's been feelings of injustice. We feel like something is not fair. Someone is not being treated rightly, and we feel that sense of injustice. We've definitely felt a whole spectrum of different feelings and emotions. And the reality is that we all do something with our feelings. And I don't know how you tend to deal with your feelings, but generally speaking, there's two different things that we can do with our emotions. First, we can either express them, express our feelings, or we can suppress them. And just a quick vocabulary lesson, I often need to be reminded of vocabulary and what words actually mean. It's good for us from time to time. What does it mean to express? Well, express, the definition is to convey a thought or a feeling in words or by gestures and conduct. To say or otherwise communicate what one thinks or means. Definition of express. Now, what does it mean to suppress? Because that's the other option of what we can do with our feelings and our emotions. To suppress is to forcibly put an end to prevent the development, action, or expression of a feeling, an impulse, or an idea. And I think from time to time, we can all identify with times where we've been able to express emotions, express feelings, but there's probably been times in your life, and maybe you tend to do this, maybe you tend to suppress your feelings, to try as much as possible to force an end to those emotions or to those feelings. Often when we suppress those feelings, those feelings somehow end up working their way out in one way, shape, or form. And often it ends up being through passive-aggressive behavior. Some of us can be good at that. You know, we think we're suppressing that feeling, but it eventually comes out in frustration or maybe taking out frustration or anger on somebody else. And then maybe at other times we can express our emotions, express our feelings, but maybe it's in the wrong way, or maybe to the wrong person. The truth is about how God has made us is that he has made us to feel different emotions. And he wants us to be able to express those feelings and emotions. And ultimately, he wants us to be able to express those feelings and emotions to him. And what I love, what we're going to be looking at here over the next several weeks, is that God has given us a tangible way, a beautiful gift, a way to express those feelings rather than to suppress them, or rather to take out our emotions or dump our emotions or dump our feelings upon somebody else. First and foremost, God wants us to bring those expressions to him. And that's what we find in the book of Psalms. We're going to spend the next several weeks looking at Psalms. We spent the last 2 weeks looking at Psalm 139, but we're starting right now a new series. We're calling it A Psalm for All Seasons. Because as you think over the last several months, there's been different seasons that we've gone through, and even our emotions and even our feelings. We can go through different seasons, maybe where we're feeling angry or feeling frustrated. We can go through seasons of deep sadness, seasons of grief. We can have seasons where we're experiencing just wonderful blessings. Maybe it's earthly blessings, maybe it's spiritual blessings, but that somehow make us happier, make us joyful. We all experience different seasons of different feelings. And it's so amazing and wonderful that God has given us the gift of the Psalms to be able to express those different feelings in so many different ways. And the Psalms end up being really a treasure chest full of poetry, of songs, of prayers to God as we bring those feelings to Him and cry out to Him. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at different Psalms, and some of these that we're going to look at today, we're going to focus on a Psalm of Lament for seasons of sadness. Next week, Alex is going to preach, and he's going to focus on a psalm for times of anger. We're going to look at a psalm for moments of joy, and another one where we're going to look at what do we do when we feel attacked? What do we do when we feel like we're facing enemies? We're up against our adversaries. What about when longing for justice? The Psalms speak to that. And finally, the last one we're going to look at is a psalm for facing death. Isn't that interesting as we think over the last several months of COVID and the pandemic, and really what one of the things we're trying to minimize is we're trying to minimize sickness, and we're trying to prevent the spread of a disease that might lead to death. So how do we face death? How does God want us to face death? How does God want us to deal with those feelings related to death? So that's where we're going to be heading over the next several weeks. But today what we're going to be focusing on is Psalm 13. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm chapter 13. This psalm is for seasons of sadness. As I said before, this is a psalm of lament. Psalm 13, and this is written by King David, and this is likely during the time that David was being pursued by King Saul. Now think about that for a moment. David, in this relationship with Saul, was innocent, was so respectful, and God used David in mighty ways to minister to Saul. God used David to defeat Goliath, that giant that was taunting the Israelites, and that nobody could come out and fight him. And David went forth in the strength of the Lord and conquered that giant. And we read story after story of David's success and how God used David in mighty ways. Yet Saul was his enemy. Saul grew deeply jealous, and he sought after David again and again. He was just on the hunt to kill David. And David was killed nearly killed several different times, and was just constantly on the run, constantly running for his life. How would that make you feel? How did that make David feel? Well, we catch a glimpse of that here in Psalm 13. Psalm 13, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, 'I have prevailed over him,' lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we pray that you would speak to us. God, help us to learn how to be open before you. Help us to learn how to bring feelings and emotions, especially as we focus on this psalm of lament, of sadness. Help us to know how we can rightfully bring it before you and express that to you, who has created us with those feelings, who have uniquely formed and shaped each one of us. I pray that you would use this in a powerful way today for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through this series on Psalms, there's a book I'm going to be referring to occasionally. It's this one up here. It's called Open and Unafraid, The Psalms as a Guide to Life. I encourage you to check this book out. It kind of highlights the different types of psalms and some of these psalms that we're going to be looking at, and I'll be referring to this book from time to time, the author David O. Taylor. And what I want to start with today, I want to read just an excerpt from, specifically as he talks about the psalm of lament, the different types of psalms of lament. Listen to these words. I think we can all identify with how he describes the world in which we live and the society that we are living in right now and experiencing. He says, "We live in a broken world. Divorce fractures a family. A child abandons the faith. A friendship sours over a word that has wounded and refuses to be healed. Or a prolonged loneliness leads to a crippling depression. The loss of meaningful work provokes suicidal thoughts, while the burden of unpayable debt plunges a family into poverty. An unexpected death leaves one heartbroken, even as experiences of chronic pain rob the joy from life's simplest pleasures." He goes on to say, he says, "Other experiences of brokenness occur at a societal level. The cities ruined by floods, leaving its citizens displaced and bitter. Forest fires devour homes. A terror attack decimates a public market. Volatile oil prices put entire industries at risk." Listen to this one. Last part of this paragraph, he says, "And the outbreak of a viral infection causes the death of millions." I should add that this book came out right before the pandemic began. For such a time as this, right? But what do we do about all this sadness? Because think about it. Think of all the reasons we could be sad. All the reasons we can grieve and do grieve. What we experience individually and what we experience as a society, how do we deal with it? How do we express this sadness? Well, God gives us a gift, once again, in the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 113, an example and really a pattern that we can use. And what I'm going to consider this today is a pattern for prayer in seasons of sadness. I know personally for me, I appreciate learning over time more and more how to pray. There's no end to learning how to pray. And the Psalms give us patterns. The Psalms give us examples. The Psalms give us scripts to be able to pray and to bring our requests before God, to bring our expressions and our feelings and our emotions to Him. And so as we look at Psalm 13 here, a pattern for prayer in seasons of sadness. And the first part of this pattern we see, this is going to be pretty simple today. It's three words altogether in this pattern, three parts of this pattern. The first is to complain. Complain. Have you ever been told at church to complain? Usually we hear the opposite, right? Because we think of what Paul says in Philippians. He says, "Do everything without complaining or grumbling." So what am I talking about here? The pastor is telling me to complain. Well, it's perfectly appropriate to complain to the right person, to complain to God Almighty. And it's okay to ask questions of God. But what we tend to do is we go and complain to the wrong person. Or complaining can turn to grumbling when we might voice it to one another or voice it just to ourselves when we might be frustrated or growing impatient with something. We can start to grumble, and that grumbling is really the wrong type of complaining. But what you see in Psalm 13 here is the appropriate way, the right way to complain, to express our complaint, to express our sadness before God. What does David say? This is what he asks. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" We see into his soul here what he's feeling. It says, "How long must I take counsel in my soul?" And what that means is he's referring to pain that he feels in his soul. How long must I feel this pain deep down? And how long must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? This is a further glimpse. He says, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" Sometimes we can feel that way, can't we? Like, God, why are you not listening? God, can you even hear me? It feels like you've abandoned me. It feels like you've turned your ears off, that you're not listening. God, why are you not speaking back to me? Sometimes what we go through in life can just simply feel so hard and weigh us down so deeply. Challenges, trials, suffering. Life can just seem too hard to bear at times. Whether you're David being pursued by a king who wants to kill you, maybe it's just a hardship that you're facing right now. And maybe the enemy is using it to attack you, to discourage you, to get you down, to get you discouraged. But asking this question, pouring out your complaint before God, "How long, O Lord," is okay. Because in doing that, we're just simply inquiring of God. We're expressing that feeling before him. But where it becomes not okay, where we start to cross the line, is when we start to blame God. Or we start to shake our fists at God when he doesn't answer, not just when he doesn't answer, but when he doesn't answer according to the way we want him to answer, according to our wishes, or according to our timing, according to our schedule. But simply just expressing and asking, "God, how long? How long am I going to feel this pain? How long am I going to experience this sorrow in my heart?" What we do in that process is that we bring it to him, bring it to his feet, to express and to complain in the right and appropriate way. In this book, David Taylor, he says, "Whenever the psalmist voices his complaint, it is the sign of an active faith, not a passive faith." Do you believe that? Do you, is your faith such that you can confidently come and be, as he talks about in this book, be open and unafraid before God? Whatever frustration or pain or sadness that you might be experiencing, that you are confident in your faith in him and trust in him to be able to come and pour out your heart before him. Is that the way your relationship is with God? That's what he longs for. That's what he longs for from each one of us, to bring those sorrows, to bring those troubles before him. David Taylor recounts an experience that he and his wife went through, where they went through a miscarriage, and it was a very painful time for them. And in the process, what they learned was this very first part we're talking about, is being open before God and bringing that complaint before him. And this is what he realized after that time. He said, above all, what we needed to know was that God can handle our broken hearts and our raging words of protest. Do you believe that God can handle your broken heart? Do you believe that God can handle your raging words of protest? He says, here there is never mere complaint. There is complaint brought to God rather than kept from God. What would God rather have? Us bring his complaint to him, or to keep it from him and to suppress that feeling and then maybe express it to somebody else or take it out on somebody else? Now, it's good and appropriate to be in community with one another and to bear one another's burdens and to hear each other out and to listen. And we can sometimes voice these same types of complaint to one another. But what we need to be reminding ourselves of and each other over and over and over again is that our God is a God who listens to our complaints, who can handle our words of protest, who can handle our broken hearts, who can handle the sorrow that we face. So the first part of this pattern is to complain. The second part, simple word, it's to ask. Come before him and ask. So first, complain. Second, ask. Verse 3, this is what David says. He says, consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. He's coming before God with his request. And I think of Philippians chapter 4. What does God want us to do instead of being anxious, instead of being fearful? It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, with supplication, present your request to God. And what do we experience when we do that? It says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Throughout the Psalms, we see so many different examples of requests. We see requests for healing. We see requests for deliverance. Requests for taking away blame. Provision. The psalmist asks for protection. The psalmist asks for forgiveness. I'm going to look at a couple examples here of prayers. These are requests before God. Psalm 31, verse 9, it says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. Just a simple request. God, be gracious to me in this. Psalm 6, 2 through 4, it says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? There we hear it again. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me for the sake of your unfailing love. In our asking, we can, at the same time, not just complain, but we can come and pour out our soul and pour out our request before God, who can handle our complaint, but who can handle our requests too. It's okay to complain to God, but we can't leave it at that. We need to come before him and ask. and request. And I was so encouraged and so inspired just a couple weeks ago. We've been all praying for Pete and Jane Scuba. Pete came to our men's breakfast a couple weeks ago, and he requested prayer. He was going to be going in for a bone marrow biopsy the following week, and he asked us to pray for him, and we were so honored to gather around him and pray. And he specifically said, what we're asking for, what we're praying for, is negative results of leukemia. And we said, Pete, we are going to pray for you. That's what we're going to pray for. We are going to ask God. At the same time, Pete acknowledged and said, but yet God, may God's will be done. And that was our prayer. We asked God, God, we pray for good results. But God, may your will be done. And Pete was so bold in asking, and I appreciate that so much. The following week, test results come back. He has leukemia, we all know. You got word probably last week or the week before. But we went and visited him the next day, and he said, we're praying God's will be done. God's will be done. And we continue to pray. We continue to ask. We continue now to pray for healing. We still bring that request before God. But in doing so, we can know and be confident that God is with us. He is for us. He will not leave us or forsake us. And at the same time, we can pray these prayers like the psalmist prays. Have mercy on me, O God. We're faint. We are weak. Be gracious to me, for I am in distress. And in those moments of discouragement, those moments of despair, we can still bring those requests, the requests for strength, the request for grace, the request for mercy, and lay it at the feet of our Creator. And what we experience in that process then, the third part of this pattern that we see, is we experience rest. Rest. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I want you to notice something in these last two verses here. The resolve and the trust and the rest that David expresses before God and is experiencing before God. What I want you to notice about this is that trust and that rest does not come from an answer. In that moment, in this prayer, he is bringing his request to God. God, consider me and answer me. Light up my eyes. Give me strength. I don't want my enemies to prevail over me. He's bringing his request. But then he rests in the fact that he has brought it and laid it before the feet of God himself. And what we see is this resolve and this rest and trust that God, I've brought it to you. And God, I can trust you because of your steadfast love, because you have saved me. And I will sing to you, Lord. I will yet be thankful. I will yet praise your name because you are good, because you have dealt bountifully with me. David Taylor in this book says this. He says, the final resolution of a psalm of lament, and this is an example of a psalm of lament, the final resolution may involve a confession of trust. It may involve a resolve to pray or a promise to obey. Or it may involve a confident affirmation of God's own faithfulness. Listen to this. He says, even if there is no empirical data to prove it. That's the type of trust and faith that God wants us to have in him. Is that we can trust him without knowing the answer. We can trust him maybe when there's no evidence of healing. We can trust him even in the weakest moments when we question and wonder, God, are you going to give me strength to get through this? It doesn't feel like it. Not from what I'm seeing around me. But yet I resolve to trust in you, to place my life back in your hands, and in that I can rest. Psalm 116:7 expresses this so well. It says, return, O my soul. Is it okay to speak to your own soul? It is. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves and speak to our own soul. It says, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. A couple weeks ago, I was struggling with something difficult, something challenging. And I was taking it to God, and I was mindful of, okay, Lord, I need you right now. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm going through. And I was bringing requests before him. But what I found as this particular day went on was that I was just still not at peace. I was still holding on to things. My mind was wandering to the different uncertainties related to the situation I was facing. Uncertainties and starting to wonder, okay, God, how are you going to answer? And a little later in that day, I was driving, and I found that sometimes my best prayer times with God are when I'm alone in my car. And it's just me and God. And I realized that without even thinking too much about it, I realized I hadn't followed this pattern that the Psalms lay out for us. That idea of just bringing my complaint before God and then asking God and then just resting in him. And in that moment, I realized, God, here's my complaint. God, you know exactly what I'm facing. You know what I'm thinking. You know where my mind is going. You know the condition of my heart. You know the challenges before me. And I moved into that part about asking, and I, without really even recognizing, I was going through this pattern. And in that moment, as I was praying to him and just driving in my car, there was this sense of, okay, there. Open and unafraid. God, I've given it to you. I've given it to you. And it was amazing what God did in that process, because over the next couple hours, it was like he just lifted that burden off my shoulders. And it wasn't that I had an answer. It wasn't like everything was resolved. But in coming back to him and placing those complaints, placing those requests, coming back to him asking, I experienced this rest that David expresses. But God, I have trusted in your steadfast love. Because of that, my heart shall rejoice. And God, you have saved me. You love me. We're going to sing in a moment in the song, The Blessing. You are for me, God. You are for me. And Jesus invites us in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Such an overlooked invitation that Jesus gives. He says, come to me, "All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Remember who's speaking this. Remember who is giving this invitation. It's the one who knows grief deeper than any one of us could ever feel. The one who knows what it's like to feel weary. The one who knows what it's like to be forsaken. The one who hung on the cross in pitch darkness and cried out, "God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The one who wept the death of his friend and wept for his friends, Mary and Martha, and even knowing that he was going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows grief. Isaiah 53 says, he was acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows. Jesus invites each one of us to bring our sorrows, to bring our pains, to bring whatever is weighing us down, and to place it at his feet. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and in me you will find rest for your soul." This is a type of rest and a type of peace that you will not experience anywhere else. Because what we look for in the world is peace in our circumstances. We look for peace in our surroundings. We look for peace in our health. We look for peace in our earthly blessings, which will never give us rest, which will never satisfy. But Jesus invites us to come before him and to cast our burdens, our weariness, our sorrows, our griefs upon him. And there we will find rest. And in there we find forgiveness for our sins. It's at the feet of Jesus where we experience the assurance of knowing that we can be in heaven forever with our Heavenly Father. It's at the feet of Jesus that we experience mercy and grace and the promise of eternal life. But at the same time, we experience the peace and the rest that we need for this life that we live here on this earth. I'm going to invite the team up as we close in prayer. But I'm going to pray this prayer that God would teach us this pattern that we've talked about, this pattern in Psalm 13, that he can handle our complaint, that he can take our requests, and in doing so, we can find rest. Rest in his steadfast love. And so let's pray that God would teach us his ways and draw us closer to him through prayers of, like we see here in Psalm 13. Lord Jesus, you have conquered death. You have conquered the grave. And because of that, you can handle anything. And you can handle our impatient prayers. You can handle our prayers that sometimes might even seem disrespectful or question you, question what you're doing. But God, we pray that you would teach us to know that you are greater than all things. And because of that, we can confidently pray each and every day, God, may your will be done. May your will be done for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.